world's on fire, our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Hey, pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning. Good morning. First day of spring. Beware the Ides of March. Right? Hey, Joe made it in there. Joe, I was worried about you. We're going to take some communion today, folks. So go get you get some elements or something to take it with you. You know, I kind of realized, I don't know why, I'm such a skeptic by nature. This is skeptic. I have a tendency, this is me, I have a tendency to believe most conspiracy theories when they first come out. I'm not real quick to say, oh, that can't be true. In the crazy world that we find ourselves in, and, you know, Craig sent me something this morning, and RJ sent me something this morning about timelines and really where we are in history. And, you know, all of us, I don't care who you are, for you and me, history beyond when we were born really doesn't even exist. Lord, we just thank you for this day and let the words of our lips, meditation of our heart be pleasing in your sight. In Jesus' name, amen. The history of my life, I can take you back to 1971 when I was in high school. I can take you back to 1975 when I graduated, and 1978, I think it was, when I met Michelle. I can take you to all those places, and I can write a history book about all those places and all those things that went on in my life. And I can even go back and maybe tell you about my great-grandfather and his. I could show you my lineage. But really, for me, history began the day I was born. And that's my perspective on the world. And if we really, I think we talked about this the other day, Spencer. You don't have to look for it. How many generations has it been since Noah? Is that what we looked at? Wasn't it like 80 generations? And generation being something like... how many years was a generation? 60 years, 20 years, 40 years, whatever it was. And so history, from our standpoint, my history is real because I lived it. I lived it. And I can tell you things about my history. You can believe them or you cannot believe them. And whether you believe it or not doesn't change it. This is it. This is what happened to me. I might embellish it a little bit, but this is the history. And every one of you out there right now, you can tell me your history. You can tell me a history, and I can choose to believe it or not believe it. And some of the history that you might have regarding your own family experiences or whatever has probably been Psalm 78, repeated from generation to generation to generation to generation. And here we are, we find ourselves in 2025. I mean, in the year 2520. Remember that? And time passes, and past is there. And we're all prisoners, really, to books, history. What? Do you guys really know? Do you really know if George Washington really lived? Well, they tell us he did. Do we really know that? Do we know if Adolf Hitler was really the monster they made him out to be? Well, the Bible, they tell us it was. Who does? The eyewitnesses, the people that lived it. What about before the flood? Was there a civilization here before the flood? How would we know? How would we be able, in any way, shape, or form, be able to understand a civilization being here before the flood? Because the Bible tells us, why did Noah flood the earth? He flooded the earth because we were continuously wicked. Wait a minute, who was continuously wicked? Guys living in caves? Guys living in tents? Was there a civilization here before the civilization that we now have? Do we really? Is that what the pyramids are all about and all the new things that are coming out that we're finding out? Man, I don't know. Or have you ever, help me out on this one, have you ever heard somebody repeat to you a story about something you were there. So somebody tells a story. Let's say it doesn't matter. 911. And so somebody's telling their children about 911, and you're listening to it, and you're thinking, I didn't what happened. That isn't the way it went, right? You know what I'm talking about, right? So imagine where we are today in history. That ain't the way it happened. Do we really have the history? Do we really know? And so we look at something even going on right now, something modern going on. How about Richard Nixon and Watergate? Do we have the story on that? Was it something deeper going on with Watergate than what we knew? Did we just get the, as they say, the stories told by the winners? Do we just get their perspective on it? That's the kind of stuff that fascinates me. And by the way, that's why I'd like for you to throw something on the table today that you're interested in, or you've been doing some research. You say, you know, Coach, I've been studying this for a long time. We're not going to get in depth, but man, we got to broaden our horizons, because we are in the midst of the most cataclysmic revealing of truth I believe that the world has ever known. Revealing of truth. And I could go right now, I could run it, rattle off about six things without even taking a breath of conspiracies they tell us, conspiracy theories in my lifetime that I don't know if we know the truth about. So we're hearing about the, you know, right now, come on now, come on, folks, understand this, information overload, right? Epstein Island, Kennedy files, yada, yada, one on top of another, on top of another, and they all get kind of lost in the shuffle. So what we try to do here, what I try to do here is, I said, Pizzagate, thanks, David. I want to know the truth. And the truth, whether you know it, will make you free. But we haven't been getting the truth. And why haven't we been getting the truth? And how do we find the truth? That's kind of like, what? So you're allowed to throw on the table today any conspiracy theory you'd like to, or some information that you found. Like I said, RJ gave me two things today that I turned my hat side. I said, dude, I got to swallow that. I got to chew that up a little bit here, right? And Craig's always, come on, man. Come on. Come on. Do you realize if you listened, which I don't, thank God for the internet, but can you imagine a time when there was ABC, NBC, CBS, and that was it. Walter Cronkite. Who were those guys? Two guys on channel, on ND, it doesn't matter. And all the information being funneled through ABC, CBS, NBC. Wow. And to where we are today. And that you can't, you can, well, it's amazing. The moon landing. I haven't forgot you, Joe, I promise. The moon landing. You really think we went to the moon? You really think we did? Is that thing produced in a studio somewhere? And they just told us. I got some of that stuff I'm going to get into today. I'd like to hear from you, though. I'd like you to throw a piece of meat on the table and say, Coach, how about this one? Flea Flicker Friday. Joe, come on in and lead us in the elements here, man.
Thank you, Coach. Too much for me to think about so early in the morning.
Yeah, it is, especially 4 a.m. or whatever it is out there.
Yeah.
So, Joe, exactly. we appreciate you getting up to do this, buddy.
Well, it's a privilege. Our reading this morning is Romans 10, 4 to 13. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth.
Well, Joe, stop there a second. But what does that mean? Christ is the end of the law. See, to me, that means the law's of none effect if you're under the blood of Jesus. There is no law. That's the way I read it.
For yeah, everyone that believeth. It's 2.0. The 1.0 isn't relevant anymore.
That's right. Right. Go ahead.
For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law.
By the way, folks, it's only the law that lets you know right and wrong. Okay, you understand that, right? We have to have a law so you can determine right and wrong. Go ahead.
That the man which doeth these things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven. Producer, if you could move it down a bit. Thank you. That is to bring Christ down from above. Or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
That's pretty clear, isn't it, Joe? That's pretty clear there, right?
Yeah.
Now let me throw this in there, folks, because we've got to think about this. I confess my mouth, believe in my heart, Christ raised him from the dead, I can be saved. But there has to be a convergence, and you can't continue to say, well, I'm saved, and continue to go out and womanize and do all that kind of stuff. It has to be a heart change. Go ahead, John.
For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation.
Amen. There it is.
For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed.
Amen.
For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek.
What? Wait a minute, Joe. God's chosen people are special. Go ahead.
For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I think that's pretty important.
I think it's very important.
And a good thing to remember when that time comes.
Because, Joe, it says my righteousness is as filthy rags. I can do everything right my whole life, right? I can do it all.
And you can do it all and still miss it by a mile.
It's filthy rags. Filthy rags. But let's be serious here. If you receive Christ, it should be a life change. Your life should reflect the change that happened inside of you. So this idea that you get saved, and well, I don't want to get into the once saved, always saved debate, but dude, it's not trans salvation. In other words, you don't get it. Go ahead, Joe. I'm sorry.
Okay, no problem, Coach. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you again this morning with gratitude in our hearts. Gratitude for all that you've done, for being the one true God, and for being the God who gave his only begotten Son, that we who believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. We can't really comprehend how the creator of the universe could do this, do that for us. But we are grateful. And we know we fall short. And we're so grateful that we can put on Jesus' coat of righteousness by just believing in him and living our lives as he would be, as he is in us now. And so please help us to recall and remember when we find ourselves in the challenges this life gives us, to do and respond the way Jesus would. Let others see him in us. We won't always meet that mark. In fact, we'll most often fall short. But please help us to always be aware of that and meet that mark in our hearts, if we can't do it in our actions. And Lord, you know we're grateful to live in this great country, but you know how far it has fallen. But we're grateful for this second chance you're giving us now. And we pray that our new leaders live up to all their promises. And we pray for our justice system, which is so key in these times. We pray that reins be put on those who overstep their authority. That that be clear and obvious and not be tolerated. We pray that people be in power be brought to their knees, knowing that what they should do, and then help them do the right thing. Be with those who've been stricken with catastrophe in California, in the Carolinas, and the places where the storms have ravaged. Please give them warmth, food, medicine, comfort, family, friends, and hope. Hope for a new future. Hope that they will be able to rebuild. And let them know that they're not alone, Lord. And so we now ask that you bless this bread and drink representing the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. We ask that you remind our hearts that this can be the meal that heals. So let any who need something to be fixed in their body or their lives or their family, pray for that in their hearts now. We ask that you forgive our sins and transgressions as we take this holy meal and share this with each other and with you, Lord. Blessing this bread and drink representing the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen.
And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you, Coach.
Joe. Hey, so listen. Again, Flea Flicker Friday, I want you to throw something on the plate, but I got a couple things I want to show you here real quick. Spencer, I just did send you a standalone email. Talking about history here, right? History, folks. How many of you have done any research at all on what they call the Tartarian Empire? Are you guys familiar with that at all? I'm not going to get into it today. I just want to wet your whistle. And what they call the Mud Flood. The Mud Flood. The Tartarian Empire. Now, we all know this, right, that Noah flooded the earth. Do we really know what was on the earth then? What was the earth really like then? Do we really know? Do we have any pictures of it? Was it an advanced civilization? Was it just people living in huts and having canoes? And what was it? And then we begin to look into what they call Tartarian architecture. Just scroll down a little bit, Spence, and ask yourself this, folks, because of what they would call mud flood. There was, by the way, there was a Tartarian map of Tartaria. I don't want to get into in depth. I just want you to think here a little bit. Then ask yourself, scroll on down, Spencer. Keep going. How did they produce these kind of buildings? Scroll on down. 1815 World Fair. Of something that was 1815 World Fair, that picture up there before. Keep going, Spence. Eiffel Tower. How did they build the Eiffel Tower? Go ahead. Keep going. Keep going. Look at all this unbelievable technology and architecture and stuff. Where did that stuff come from? How did they have the machinery? Did they have cars? Did they have engines? Did they have cranes? How did they do that? How did they build the pyramids? How did they move those blocks? With a horse and buggy? Huh? Go down a little bit more, Spence. So I'm not going to talk a whole lot about it. Look at that building. How'd they build that thing? When was this building built? Civilizations that say at the bottom there, Spence, somewhere. I just on the spur of the moment pulled this thing up there because I've been studying this a little bit. What? They're discovering these buildings, friends. Buried architecture. Lost civilizations. What would it look like 2,000 years ago? You say, Coach, 2,000 years ago? Yeah, 2,000 years ago. That would be the year 25 AD. Jesus has already come and died and resurrected. Time started over again, 25 AD. People began to live. Are we to believe that literally for 1,000 years they lived in huts, canoes? Huh? I think this thing's deeper. I think it's deeper than what we understand it to be. So Tartaria, do a little bit of, I'm going to try to do a show on that at some point. I don't really feel like I can, I don't know if I'm qualified to do it yet. Hang on, Rochelle. I'll get you right in here a second. I want to show you something else. Was that it? Hang on. Looking at my list here. Oh, I'm not going to get into that today. I'm not going to. Okay. How about this one? Pull up number one. And then Rochelle, you're going to be the first one up. And then folks, throw your conspiracy theory, whatever. Throw it on the table. Because this came back to my mind again, thinking about the guys we just went and rescued, or supposedly went and rescued, right? Remember, there's nothing hidden that will not be revealed. We go to the moon? Did we go to the moon? Watch this.
What if I told you that we never landed on the moon in 1969? Here are five facts that prove it never happened. Stick with me as the last one will blow your mind. Number one, the computer problem. The Apollo guidance computer had 4 kilobytes of RAM and ran at 0.043 megahertz, weaker than a pocket calculator. And yet they claim it handled precise moon landings, navigation, and astronaut survival. Number two, the Van Allen radiation belt. To reach the moon, astronauts had to pass through deadly radiation belts. NASA says thin aluminum shielding protected them. But how, if the belts were so dangerous, how did 1960s tech survive exposure that should have been lethal? Number three, flawless communication 240,000 miles away. NASA supposedly transmitted live video and audio from the moon to Earth without advanced satellites. Even today, we struggle with lag and interference over long distances. How did they achieve perfect transmission in 1969? Number four, the spacesuit mystery. NASA says their suits protected astronauts from 250 degrees Fahrenheit in sunlight to 250 degrees Fahrenheit in shade. But these suits were never tested in space-like conditions before the mission. How did they work flawlessly on the first try? So did it really happen? When you add it all up, the primitive computer, deadly radiation, flawless communication, and miraculous suits, it starts looking less like a... What if I told...
Wow, huh? Wow. Michelle, throw the meat on the table. Let's go here. Go ahead. Come on.
Hey, Michelle. Good morning. Let me just say that that's one of my very favorite conspiracy theories is that, yeah, we didn't go to the moon, guys. We live in an enclosed space. Anyway, the first thing you were talking about, I'm going to drop in the chat this channel called My Lunch Break, and it has all kinds of stuff on Tartaria and that thing you were talking about. But one thing that they're doing is he's like a private historical investigator. And what he's doing is he's going around to these historical sites that there's so many questions about how did we build this? Why is it buried? Why are the doors 20 feet tall? How did they have this energy without an energy source? All of this kind of stuff. It's amazing. But the thing is, what he's doing is he's pointing you to a specific type of theology, saying that this is because we are in the dragon's little season, meaning that the little season after the millennial kingdom, where Satan is freed for 1,000 years to deceive the nations. So it's making a claim that these beautiful buildings were from the millennial kingdom. However, if you do further studies on this, you'll see that a lot of these structures were built on top of the bones of humans, and they've got gargoyles and very ugly depictions. Some are very beautiful angels and amazing stuff, but we didn't make that stuff. Some other civilization made those things. Our history is a total lie, and this is why they cover it all up. They don't want us to know where we come from, what we're living on, and why we're here. But this channel is amazing. You'll come away with more questions, but it's leading you down the wrong path to make you think that, you know, the 1,000 years is over and you're in this little season and you're being deceived. However, the information on there is amazing.
So, Rochelle, I don't question any of the creation story. The creation narrative. I don't question any of it. But I question a lot of things along the way. Does that make sense? I believe whatever God did, he did. But I'm not sure they're telling us what he did.
Well, just like with Gen 6 and the angels fell from heaven and mated with women. Well, there was a civilization after that. And I think that this channel is showing you what they built during that time.
Interesting. So in other words, Rochelle, that's when the angels fell, they had sex with women who obviously were already here, weren't they?
Oh, of course. Yeah. Of course. And the angels, with their technology, that's what they did. They traded technology and knowledge for relations with women. And then the angels and men helped build these buildings, but it was mostly the angels, their technology, their power, their skills, their know-how, that kind of thing.
So, Rochelle, bless you. Thanks, dear. You know, here where we live, a lot of you, by the way, the annual's coming up. We'd love for you to be able to come here, come to Sky High. And we are, L.A. Marzulli said, I'm in Nephilim Central. Right here is Nephilim Central. And if you haven't done a study of the Nephilim, maybe I'll get Fritz Zimmerman on and we'll talk about that. There was clearly history. I see it all the time. When I'm out, if I'm out mowing the grass, whatever, I see, man, where did that stone come from? And what the heck is that? So there was something here before us. So whatever us is, there was something here. There's something here. What was it? Like right now, I could take you to you could get in the car with me and I could drive you about 6 miles and where I grew up, in the home where I grew up. And I could sit out on the front porch and I could tell you story after story after story after story of things happened just on that piece of property. So think about the world and where we are and all the history just from every specific piece of property and how little of it we really, really don't know. How much of it's true, how much of it's not true. But as Rochelle just explained, evidently there was a civilization here and they were all screwed up and God saw it. He said, this guy can't do that. And the angels came down and they had sex with women. And God said, dude, I got to start all over. And then we had a flood. But what was going on before the flood? What was going on that was so bad that God said, oh, dude, I screwed that one up. That's not what he said. But, man, I'm going to flood that and I'm going to start over again. So a civilization from Adam and Eve until the flood. What was here? Well, we don't know because none of us were there, right? And so therefore, the history that they give us is probably the history, the best that they can know. But today, with all the technology, it's so easy to say that couldn't have happened. For instance, as Rochelle just said, I think it was Rochelle, the Van Allen belt. See, what's the Van Allen belt? Well, the Van Allen belt is a radiation belt over the top of the earth that we can't penetrate through. You can't get through it. In order to go to the moon, you have to go through the Van Allen belt. You can't. Can't get through it. Well, how'd we go to the moon? Julie, come on in.
Good morning. I just have a question because, like I said, most of this I understand. But yesterday they were saying there's two astronauts who were stuck up there for 9 months and just got down. Well, what's that all about? Just wondering.
Well, I'm not going to believe it just because they told us that, right? So there's something going on from my perspective. This is a rescue of astronauts who have been trapped in space for 9 months and hardly anything on it in the media? What? Something's not right there. Chad, our moderator, I think it's Chad.
Yeah, well, back to the moon and all that. If we can't get to the Van Allen, well, okay, let's say this. Maybe the moon and the sun is not where they say it is. What if it's actually inside our own atmosphere? What if that? It's not millions of miles away.
Dude.
Hey, man.
Right? Look, folks, every one of us. We believe history because they told us, right? Well, folks, how much history from 1960 to today have they told you that we know is not true? It's not just things that have happened since 1960 that we know now aren't true. And yet they're still telling us it is true. So what must it be like if we were to go back 500 years, 1,000 years, 2,000 years? What is it that was going on here and we didn't know anything about? Johnny.
Yeah, I think that we live in a time right now where it proves itself to be true that they change history on purpose, because we've lived in a time where we've seen historical figures made up in statues of our own history in this country being torn to the ground. Look at the political figures in the South, or look at the flag down there that they've completely wiped away. Down south, what am I talking about?
The
Union Jack.
The flag.
Okay. Yeah, the Civil War. Yeah, Civil War flag. Yeah, yes.
Right. So, I mean, we have witnessed just in the past 10 or 15, 20 years, they're tearing down statues of historical figures in our country. So I think it's proof enough to know that these aren't conspiracy theories. And just like God says, there's nothing under the sun that won't be revealed. You know,
nothing.
The truth will come out, and we have proof to that. So,
and are we in a midst, Johnny? Are we in a midst of time of great revealing and unveiling? Are we really going to be able to see things that we never dreamed we would see? Pull up number three real quick. Pull up number three. Watergate. We all know about Watergate, right? Now, I could get Judd in here. We could get you going on Watergate. Was Watergate what they told us? Somebody wanted Richard Nixon out pretty badly. And by the way, I hate to tell you this, they got rid of Richard Nixon's vice president. Tax evasion. Remember? Yeah. Oh, yeah, right. And they brought in Gerald Ford, who was connected to some pretty deep, dark things, Gerald Ford. And lo and behold, Gerald Ford's president of the United States, the only man never elected either vice president or president of the United States. Play this little clip from Tucker Carlson. It's pretty fascinating. Now get you, Dale.
I mean, if you look at what happened to Richard Nixon, which I, of course, did not understand at all, Richard Nixon was taken out by the FBI and CIA, and with the help of Bob Woodward, who was a Washington Post reporter who had been a naval intelligence officer working in the White House, working in the Nixon White House. And then he shows up like a year later, and he's this brand new reporter. He'd never been a journalist at all. He's a naval intel officer, the famous Bob Woodward we all revere, and he's at the Washington Post, and somehow he gets the biggest story in the history of the Washington Post. He's the lead guy in that story. well, I worked at a newspaper. I've been in the news business my whole life. That is not how it works. You don't take a kid like his first day from a totally unrelated business and put him on the biggest story. But he was. He was that guy. And who is his main source for Watergate? Oh, the number two guy at the FBI. Oh, so you have the naval intelligence officer working with the FBI official to destroy the president. Okay, so that's a deep state coup. What else? How would you describe that? If that happened in Guatemala, what would you say? And yet the way it was framed and the way that I accepted for decades was, oh, this intrepid reporter fought power. No, no, no. This intrepid reporter, Bob Woodward, was a tool of power, secret power, which is the most threatening kind, to bounce the single most popular president in American history, Richard Nixon, from office before the end of his term and replace him with who? Oh, Gerald Ford, who sat on the Warren Commission. Now, how did Gerald Ford get to be Richard Nixon's vice president? Well, because Carl Albert, the Democrat Speaker of the House, told him, you must choose him. We will only confirm him when they sent the actual elected vice president away for tax evasion, Spiro Agnew of Maryland. So you have a complete setup, like an absolute. Gerald Ford, the only unelected president in American history, actually sat on the Warren Commission. Something else that I accepted at face value until I looked at it, and I was like, that's completely insane. You didn't want to interview Jack Ruby in your investigation of the assassination? Okay, you're fake. Yeah, he was on the Warren Commission. And so, sorry for the long story, but the point is, like that happened in front of all of us, but the way it was framed cloaked the obvious reality of it. The people who broke into the Watergate office building, from which the name is taken, Watergate, was, I think it was six of them or seven of them, all but one was a CIA employee. That's real. It's like, look it up on Google. So the whole thing, Richard Nixon was elected by more votes than any president in American history in the 1972 election. He was the most popular by votes, which is the only way we can really measure popularity, the most popular president in his reelection campaign. And 2 years later, he's gone. Undone by a naval intel officer, the number two guy at the FBI, and a bunch of CIA employees. You tell me what that is. Those are the facts. Those are not disputed facts. That's not crackpot shit.
Boom, huh? Boom. So just think about that, right? Because history is told by the winners, right? History is told by the winners. They wanted Gerald Ford in there because he headed up the Warren Commission, and they didn't want any more investigation going on into the assassination of President Kennedy because it was going to show us who exactly did it. And I hate to tell you this, I can show you something. The Mossad, Israel Mossad, was behind the assassination of John F. Kennedy. Come on in, Dale.
Yeah, amen. And, you know, I was just going to confirm it with that lady, and he kind of touched base with it. Not only did Richard Nixon win the most popular vote, he won all 50 states in his election. What was Watergate? Watergate was, oh, they're spying in the Democratic party thing or whatever. Wait, coach, you just won. Beat this team 82-0. Do you need to spy on their coaching staff to see what their next plays are? You've already slaughtered them, and that's the whole thing. All of the coup behind it and everything like that. But the fact of the matter, this was an inside setup job that began with Richard Nixon running against John F. Kennedy, right? Because they did the same thing. And what was it? It was the news agencies. They made Richard Nixon look older than what he was, pale and gray, and they vibrant colors with John F. Kennedy. This goes way back.
Yep. And so they had to get Gerald Ford in there, who headed up the Warren Commission, to make sure that the assassination of Kennedy stayed hidden. Unbelievable, isn't it? And folks, if this just happened in a 10-year period of history without the internet and all, can you imagine? Can you imagine through history what's taking place? Rochelle.
I know. I don't think we can even imagine it. There's so much. But why all these lies? You know what? Why all of these lies? I think the two main lies that stem from the governments of the world have to do with the creation and evolution. Mm-hmm. Okay, and why those main two lies? So that it leads us away from God, right? To trick us. What? There's no creator. This is all science. This came from nowhere. But another thing that they do to trick us, I'm going to drop this in the chat too. If you want to check out this Dr. Sam Bailey, and her husband. And what they're claiming and what they're saying, along with many other doctors, this is not new science. They are saying it's basically the terrain theory. It's the virus theory. Is there really viruses the way they explain them to us? And you'll be surprised. You won't believe this. No, there are not viruses as the way they explain them to us. So now if we're thinking that we have these little viruses that can attack our immune system, we are susceptible to the lies. We have to run out and get all these jabs. No, if we realize what they really are, we won't be susceptible to these lies. So it's really careful that we warn each other when we come across these truth bombs, especially one like this, guys. We've all lost loved ones because we think there's little teeny elements out there trying to kill us. And that's not the case. It's not the case.
I love this show. Hey, folks, this is literally open phone. This is Flea Flicker Friday, man.
Yeah, you've been lied to. You've been lied to about viruses.
You've been lied to in so many. None of it, folks. None of it makes me question the gospel story. None of it. None of it. But I know this. Bible warns us evil men have crept in unaware, changed the truth of God into a lie. And it's not just regarding the Bible. It's regarding many things. Talk about manipulation, money manipulation, gold manipulation, silver manipulation everywhere we get. Why? Because Satan is the father of lies. So every time a truth comes, it's got a lie following it. And we have been so programmed by those who have a different agenda and are not interested in the truth. Lauren.
Good morning. I just have a couple thoughts. Well, to pick regarding Rochelle. Well, remember when we used to run around saying, "Oh, you've got a bug." Well, yeah, you got a parasite. It's right. I mean, that's you've got parasites, right? Because we're warm-blooded animals, so we're going to have parasites. Duh. But they won't tell you that. But the other thing that I was thinking of when you were talking about Ford. What about the Betty Ford Center in California for all the alcohol, for all the addictions? Like, what was that really about? Huh. And I'm just going to leave that there.
Yeah. Oh, it's deep, isn't it? It is. It's. I'm telling you, it's deep. RJ. By the way, hang on, RJ. That guy who supposedly tried to kill President Trump, that young kid, we still don't know anything about him. They just kind of buried that. Go ahead, RJ.
Wow, this sucks. It's mind-boggling to keep hearing it and getting different angles and more layers for everything. Because you mentioned the, I think we're waiting on the JFK disclosure with the files this week. And Roger Stone had done a book about the man that killed JFK, which is LBJ.
Uh-huh.
And you're thinking, okay, you know, and they had all the different angles, you know, the mob needed him, you know, needed him gone. And then they needed to have this war take off. And remember now, JFK and Eisenhower were friends. Okay. And in fact, JFK respected him. I mean, he was the Supreme Allied Commander of World War II. So After Ike had given his farewell address, warning about a scientific, technological elite, you know, in the military-industrial complex, you have to figure that he was advising John F. Kennedy on what to do about it. And lo and behold, he winds up, taken out in Dallas. And in every angle, if you go down and you look and follow that trail, you've got these Zionists that are involved at all these different stages in that setup. Yep. And so Roger Stone was on just the other day with Alex, and and they brought that angle up, and they said, "Well, we need to look into this." And there, you know, Michael Collins Piper, I think, has a book called Final Judgment. He goes into this in great detail about the Israeli angle.
So RJ, this is. But we're brain dead regarding Israel. I'm sorry, we just are brain dead. So yeah, let's look at America a second. Would most of you agree out there that the United States of America appears to be under control of what we call the deep state? You all would agree with that, right? America, God shed his grace on thee, huh? Oh yeah, this God bless America. America, the beacon of liberty. And we've been infiltrated, and there's a deep state that's in charge of America. And most of us still love America and think America's good, when the truth of the matter is America government probably pretty daggone wicked. Now let me switch gears here a little bit. How's that any different from Israel? Take God's children, do whatever you want to. Are you mean to tell me that the Israel government represents the Israeli people the same way the American government represents the American people? Well, that would be foolishness. That would be foolishness for us to think. But that's what they've convinced us of, see?
Yeah.
So the Mossad is the Israeli CIA. America, God bless America, we have a wicked Central Intelligence Agency. Israel has a wicked Central Intelligence Agency called the Mossad. However, you are not allowed to criticize Israel. I never seen anything like it in my life. Mel, yeah. Come on in.
Yeah, Dan, you can't criticize them in Congress, but I didn't get to the point of this. I didn't mean to divert there, Coach. If I could just point out that...
Yeah, go ahead.
After I listened to the interview from last Friday where Dr. Stephen Greer came on and was interviewed by Alex, this is the man with 35 years looking into these deep state, the DARPA, all the technologies that they've used that are involved in the energy of the these unidentified aerial phenomena. What you see is that Kennedy was taken out by these people because he was going after them. He was going to expose the DARPA and the research and what they were doing. Now we had all the drones that were showing up in New Jersey. Was that it? They're saying, if you listen to this interview, I'll put the link in the chat. They could flood the whole country with these things. Apparently, how many they
RJ. RJ, if the devil could infiltrate, God bless America, could the devil infiltrate Israel? The Mossad? Is the Israeli, by the way, made up Israeli government out of thin air in 1948, could that government, is that representative of the Israeli people? Is that representative of the lineage of Jesus Christ? This governmental agency? If they've done it in America, couldn't they have done it to Israel? No. I'll lose all my friends because you're not allowed to ask that question, are you?
Yeah. Well,
I'm going to ask it. Did the Israel CIA Mossad partner with the American CIA to kill President Kennedy?
No. How could that happen?
I think so, right? But you say that in the church, they'll drag you out get horses and drag you out of there. You say that in the church. Mel, come on in.
Yeah, so I guess I just want to go back to Tartaria and the giants. So, you know, if that's been hidden, then the question is why. I mean, I've read books on giants and studied up on Tartaria. I think one of the main reasons is that if that's true, and if there was a more complex, you know, architecture and these taller beings, that it really disproves evolution.
That's it.
And so I think that really is the main point. So, you know, once you discover what we can, you know, we can find with our limited information, you just have to ask the question why. And I really think that is the case. And I think the best thing to do is to read the Bible in context, you know, read books like Enoch and Jasher, and, you know, because you're pointed there from the Bible. I mean, in the Old Testament, it points you to Jasher. So, you know, if the early church, you know, it could have been infiltrated too. And if we're limited in the information that we have, then we just have to go on that journey. And I encourage everybody to do it.
Amen, Mel. Amen. Amen. Let me pull this up for you real quickly. Pull up number 5. Very, very quick. Put it on 1.5. First of all, let me say this. Are y'all looking at me? What percentage of people in America? Wait a minute. Hang on. What percentage of people who go to church do you think actually read the Bible daily? What would that percentage be?
Less than 20.
I'm
less than.
Less than, right? lesson, right? So therefore, we're biblically ignorant. Whether we go to church so the pastor tells us what the Bible says. That's why. And you go to Genesis 6, there were giants in the earth in those days and also after. And you'll never hear that preached. You'll never hear that preached, right? So this is real quickly. Top five, put it at 1.5 speed. Top five verses commonly taken out of context, which is one of the most dangerous things you can do as a Christian, is take a Bible verse out of context, right? Go ahead.
Somebody quote a scripture and you've asked yourself, is that really what that scripture means? Today we are going to talk about the importance of context. Hey, what's up, everybody? My name is Alan Parr. Thank you all so much for visiting my channel. Here on The Beat, we release a brand new video every single Tuesday, and today we are talking about scriptures that Christians commonly take out of context. And today I want to give you my top five. Number five, judge not or you too will be judged. Now, this verse is often used to suggest that people do not have the right to judge other people. You may even hear somebody say, you can't judge me. The Bible says you can't judge. But if we take a closer look at the context, Jesus was not prohibiting judgment of any kind for any situation, but rather he was simply saying that before we do pass judgment on somebody, to take a look at ourselves and judge ourselves first so that we can see adequately enough to pass a correct judgment on someone else. Number four, consider it all joy whenever you experience various trials. Now, you may have heard this verse used to suggest that the proper Christian response whenever you're dealing with a difficult situation is to completely ignore natural human emotions, to rejoice and to thank God for your trial. But when we look at this verse in its proper context, James is not suggesting that we should rejoice when negative things happen to us, but rather we should rejoice in what we know that trial will produce in our lives. It will give us the ability to persevere and will also make us a well-balanced, complete Christian. Number three, where two or three are gathered together in my name, Jesus said, there I will be in the midst. Now, I know you've heard this one quoted oftentimes when nobody shows up to church for prayer meeting and we're trying to encourage the saints to pray anyway. Or you're going through a difficult situation in your life and you feel like you need two or three people to gather around you to pray over you. But the first problem with this is that if you are a Christian, Jesus is with you no matter whether you're by yourself, with a group of two or 200. Second of all, when you look at the context, it's clear that this passage is talking about the process that is used to resolve conflict between two people in a church and the importance of having two or three credible witnesses present, and which time Jesus said, if there are two or three together, then I will be in the midst. Number two, my personal favorite, speak those things that are not as though they are. Woo! Now this one is my personal favorite because it has been misused so many times to suggest that if we have enough faith, we can create our own destiny simply by speaking something into existence. The first problem with this is that when you read the text carefully, it clearly says that God is the only one that is able to create something out of nothing or call something into existence that is not previously there. Second of all, you and I cannot twist God's hand and force him to do something that is outside of his will simply by speaking it into existence, because when we do that, we put ourselves in the place of God and we put God in the place of a servant. And number one, by his stripes, we are healed in the name of Jesus. Now, people have used this verse when they are praying over somebody that they genuinely, sincerely want God to heal, suggesting that by Jesus' death on the cross, that we are somehow healed of all sickness and all disease. But the problem with this is that if we trace the word heal throughout the entire book of Isaiah, it is clear that God is not talking about a physical healing, but the word is used to refer to the process that God uses to heal a nation of people who have backslidden from their spiritual sickness. Second of all, we know that it can't be talking about physical healing because Peter comes along in the New Testament and quotes this very same scripture, and it is clear from his context that Jesus' death is referring to a spiritual healing rather than a physical healing. So my hope with this video is that we would all be just a little bit more careful whenever we speak for God or quote scriptures and make sure that we put those scriptures in the proper context rather than simply saying things we've heard, saying things that maybe we've heard our pastor say, or simply just quoting the most recent common Christian cliche. We can make the Bible say just about anything that we want it to say whenever we take scriptures out of their original context. So remember this, whenever you take the text out of context, you get conned every single time. If you found this video helpful.
Amen. That's good. Amen.
Boom. Amen.
That's good, isn't it? So we got to be careful because yes, the scripture applies in every situation, but there are not every situation complies or lines up with your situation. Does that make
Coach,
sense?
Coach, can I give you one more?
Do it, brother.
Okay. The Scofield Bible, which is printed by Oxford, which was Zionist infiltrated, and they brought Scofield in and printed it up. They changed a bunch of it. Okay. Number one, the biggest one is in the book of Genesis, when Abrahamic promise to the seed of Abraham, which Paul clearly teaches, capital S, it was Christ. They changed that to descendant, okay, several places. That's the only one I'll bring up. But that's a major, major out-of-context verse that everyone uses that's dispensational. Everyone that believes in, you know, the Schofieldism, dispensationalism, rapture, pre-rapture, all that, that is where they get their biggest foundational point is that scripture and it descendant. And that's why you can't talk about the Jews, because they are the descendants of Abraham, which Paul clearly, besides Paul, others clearly teach that you are a son of Abraham only by faith in Christ. Now, see, so that's, we've just been dumbed down, Coach. The church just needs to raise their hand and say, I was fooled. I was deceived, and move on.
Amen. 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 So I was,
amen, thanks, Randy.
Thanks, Randy. So I'm driving, I was in the car the other day, and I was talking about to my son-in-law. He's, how old would he be? He's 38, maybe. And I was talking to him about the Kennedy. You know, they're going to release the Kennedy assassination, yada, yada, yada. And then all of a sudden I realized something. Didn't really mean much to him, because he didn't live it. Are you with me? So the Kennedy assassination, we lived it. We lived it. Our age, we lived it. To talk to the next generation would be like them talking to me about Lincoln's assassination. I know about it, but it didn't really part of me because I never lived it.
It's not personal.
It's not personal. Then it's not emotional. And that's what happens, folks. History. That's the way history works. So you can pass down historical facts without the emotion connected to that historical.
Well, you could say the same for 9/11.
That makes all the difference, man. That makes all the difference. Gino.
Yeah, you just hit it on the nail. That's why they would not let the evidence out at the time that it happened. They wanted to go along to another younger generation that, hey, that's not important to me.
That's right.
But I just want to throw something else at you all. There are three, the way I have understood it through Jeremiah chapter 4 and Genesis 1:1, there's three earth ages. There was a time before this. There was an earth age before this, because there had to be a time when the devil and God had a fight, where a third of the angels went with the devil and the rest stayed with God. And God knows those who stayed with him. But anyway, that's just something I want to throw about. It's not a salvation thing, but it's that's the way I understand it.
What was the world like in 1000 AD? Don't you wonder that? What's been hidden from us? Michelle.
Coach, you should do an entire show and let people come in with things that they have once thought, or they were told, this is what the Bible means when it says this, and where they've done their own studies and found out it means something, either the complete opposite or something totally different. I'm just going to give you a quick example, since we've got just a second. Okay, so in Daniel 11:37, it talks about, they say this is talking about the Antichrist. I put that in quotes. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any God, for he shall magnify himself above all. Now this phrase, the desire of women, I was told that means he wouldn't be desired by women. He'd probably be gay. And I just believed that for, I don't know, decades. So we're looking for some gay Antichrist. Well, when you actually look up what the Old Testament mind frame of the desire of women is talking about, is that everybody knew if you were talking about the desire of women, it was to be the mother of the seed, the mother of the promised Messiah. So that's what that means. Not that he's going to be gay, but it's like that everywhere, all through the Bible. They take one term, they twist it. Yep. Why? The devil is in the details.
Amen. Amen. So Rochelle, I have to confess, I don't believe 9/11. I don't believe we went to the moon.
Amen.
I'm sorry. I just don't believe it. Have a great weekend. See you on Monday.